Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. I hope everybody is having a wonderful stay in, if you're in. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd, and this is that hour, this is that day, this is Thursday, April the 23rd. And as I have put out on information posts as far as Facebook were concerned, I mean, this night is going to bless you. Hopefully, I can get to the first portion of this. I can tell you that there are different elements of this in which we're going to talk about the Feast of the First Fruits. And I think that this is going to be very beneficial to you in this hour. And I just thank God that the opportunity has prevailed that I can talk to you about this. I mean, this is beyond understanding. And so to know that you've been positioned and it's not by anything that you've done or stuff that you've said or places you've been, when God decides that that's a destiny for you, then there's nothing that can stop it. So no virus or no anything. The only thing that can stop I take that back. The only thing that can stop what God wants to do in your life is you. And I want you to take part in that. So before we get off into the Feast of the First Fruits, let's start with a word of prayer. It's such a huge subject, huge topic, and I want to start it off right. If you pray with your brother, gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we are gracious unto you. Father, we thank you, O Lord. God, you have done so much, O Lord. You've healed, you've delivered. God, you've even come and taken people home. And Lord, to a mystery of ourselves, some of us cannot answer the question of why this pandemic is running roughshod over countries, over people. But Lord, at the end of every day and at the beginning of it, there's you. Father, throughout the day, there's you. And Lord, it is only through you will we begin to understand, if you decide to share it with us, why this season has come upon the earth. Lord, there are many things that we have to say, and God, we want to be sure that we're glorifying you in this hour, that we are, God, just ensuring that we trust you, our confidence is in you, and that our movements, oh God, our thoughts, Lord, is tied up in you. So God, we bless you tonight, Father. We lift you up, oh Lord, and God, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A very interesting topic tonight. We've been talking about the Feast of the Lord. Some are called the Feast of Seven Feasts of Israel. Some are deemed something else or something different. You know, I would say that it is an awesome blessing that we would have an opportunity right now that God had pulled so many people, as I see folks from all over the United States are calling in, you know, to hear what I believe God is saying to us in this hour. And if it's your first time hearing, we went over the Feast of the Passover, and last week we talked about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so I think in a season by which God is trying to deliver his people, and this is how the Lord gave me to talk about this tonight, in delivering his people, he has to do something that is catastrophic, that does not make sense to the natural mind, that he may maneuver his folks out of the hands of the enemy. And so there was a lot of things that are being floated around, and, you know, people talking about 5G and, the mark of the beast and those things. And We have to understand biblical context, because if you start talking about the mark of the beast, and then if the mark of the beast is here, that means Jesus had already come back. And if Jesus had already come back, then we're getting ready to go through a tribulation period. We're past a season. The interesting thing about that conversation, though, is this, that Jesus says in Matthew chapter number 24, that no man knows the day nor the hour. They have no clue. And so that he would not return, or the end would not be until the gospel, has been preached throughout the earth. Now, again, I'm just laying a foundation here because I want you to really grab a hold of, the essence of this discussion. And so, so during this time period, and we talked about, feast of the Passover, and the Lord said, if I see the blood, then I'll pass over. Before he said that, he made these explicit instructions, and he made these statements, right? God said this, and Moses recorded it, that he was making a difference now between Israel and Egypt. Where we want to group people together, as a separation that God made then. And now I say that because we as church people often look at what other church people do and what other pastors have said, and we want to deem folks, as an evil person. I had a lady this week that called me Satan, because I didn't agree with her religious concept of some things that was not biblically founded. And so, because I didn't believe I was Satan, and she can say whatever she wants to, and I don't have to defend my position because it's there in the Bible. We listen to these, and that means there's mass hysteria, not of the fear of a virus, but does the men and women of God know what God is doing? That is the mass hysteria, because everybody is looking to folks that say that they are spiritual leaders. I'm right on topic now, that they are spiritual leaders because there's something going on that cannot be explained, and they're looking to the spiritual leaders to give insight. You cannot ask someone that don't know God to give spiritual insight. That would just be difficult, because they're only speaking from head knowledge and not from the spirit, right? And so so you have many things that are floating around, and I'm not going to say in the body of Christ. There's not a lot of things floating around in the body of Christ. You will never hear me say that the body of Christ is sick. You'll never hear me say that about something's wrong with the body of Christ. We're not together, and I'm not going to say those things, because Christ is the head of his body. And to say that the body is sick would point hands or fingers at the head. Because if Christ is the head, then the body must follow the head. And so there's nothing sick about Jesus Christ. There is something wrong with people, not anything wrong with Christ. I want y'all to grab that now. So we've categorized so many folks as a part of or with the body of Christ to the point where just because they have a robe on and they preach, or even as we say, have a title or something, that, that they are part of the body, and that's not so. Now, the reason why I'm covering this is because we have to look now at not just, and I want you to grab a good picture of this. We have to pay close attention to that when God was trying to separate his people, not a person, but his people from bondage, he sent a leader, right? And Moses was the one that had the contact with God, and he was the one that spoke to God, and God gave him the instructions, and he followed down, right? Those instructions were not different. Whatever God told Moses to tell Aaron, he had to tell him. And so whatever Aaron told the leaders of the 12 tribes, they told their people. Because when it was time to slaughter the lamb or the he-goat or the bullock or the turtle dove, they had to follow the instructions that God gave Moses to give to Aaron, which would indicate now that there was one voice. Even though the instructions were passed down, they were one voice. And you did not have anybody giving or acting in a mutative or mutiny, I should say, perspective based upon the instructions that God had given. And so it wasn't important that Moses just followed the instructions. It wasn't just important that Aaron followed the instructions. It wasn't just important that the 12 tribal leaders followed the instructions. God gave the instructions to his people. So as a whole, they had to now follow the instructions and move as one unit. Even though there were 12 different tribes, they had to now move as one unit. Interesting now. Now, I'm going to the Feast of First Fruits, so y'all just bear with me. And so we go through the Passover, unleavened bread, they leave Egypt, and through the 7 days, right, 2 days after the Passover, the next day, rather, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The second day after the Feast of Unleavened Bread starts the Feast of First Fruits. Even though they were still celebrating the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they joined that celebration with first fruits. And they could not do that individually. They had to do it as a people. I just want you to grab a hold of this now. It becomes vitally important that people can hear from God. God is not going to give different instructions and make it all right for these and not all right for them. When he is doing something, he's going to instruct his people when it affects them as a whole on how he will deliver them. They may not see it in its totality at the beginning, and there may be fear coming out during the process of the deliverance because they are now vulnerable, both. They are weak, and that's how the people see it, but only Moses now really knows what it means to talk to God. Aaron was in his presence, but Moses knows what it means to talk to God, and the people have witnessed now the power of God operating through Moses. Now, that's interesting now because, they witness now the power of God operating through Moses. I submit to you in this particular text right here as we talk that the only witness that the people of God has is when they see God work through that individual. It's hard to follow someone if you don't see God working through them. Doesn't mean that they're perfect. Doesn't mean that they're walking upright. It means that God has chosen them to work through. Now, the reason why God wants to deliver is because his word now is at stake. And I tell you at this moment, when we begin to talk about first fruits, is when he starts to let Israel know how valuable, how important they are to him. And now from a hindsight perspective, we should see the same thing. Because how can you have a harvest, y'all got to catch this now, when you just got delivered? Ooh. Somebody, I know you're listening, because Because you just told me to leave the leaven or leave the sin. That's the feast of unleavened bread. I've seen the slaying of the lamb and the blood that separated the children of Israel from life and from death. And then we walk through this deliverance, leaving Egypt. How do I have a harvest when I just got delivered? I'm telling you now, I need you all to hear this, because this is something interesting now, because he wasn't talking about delivering an individual. His promise wasn't to one person. It was to a group. It was to thousands, because they now were the seed of Abraham. And the promise that he made Abraham was sitting in a land far off that was now the promised land as we know it today. We call it the promised land because that was the land that the children of Israel were in before they became disobedient and went to Egypt. So now God has to get them back to their promise. Y'all need to grab a hold of that now. I want you to grab a hold of that. God has to get you back to your promise. Now, the Feast of First Fruits now, if you read this, you'll find it in Leviticus chapter number 23, and it starts right around verse 9. And so I'm going to read just a little bit of this because I want you to really grab a good understanding of what's going on, right? Because this now, God is representing something. He's saying something that is literally important. And if you don't grab this, you know, even where you stand right now is going to be a difficult place. You have to hear me when I say this now. Even where you stand, if you can't get this tonight, it's going to leave you in a difficult place. And so Leviticus chapter number 23, okay, chapter number 23, and it says in verse number 9, I'm going to read down to 14. So it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be come into the land which I give unto thee, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring out a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave a sheaf before the Lord, and to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And ye shall offer that day when ye wave the sheaf or shaft of the lamb without blemish of the first year of the burnt offering unto the Lord, and the meat offering thereof shall be 2 tenths of deals," right? Are y'all with me? "Of fine flour mingled with oil, and an offering made by fire unto the Lord for a sweet savior. And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine in the fourth part of Aaron. And ye shall eat neither bread nor parched corn nor green ears until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute for you forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings." Now, so God tells them, right, "I'm going to get you to the place that I promised you." Y'all got to hear this now. "But when you get there, your first harvest," now they're going to do this every year, "your first harvest, I need you to bring to the priest." Now, it is important that I want you to hear this because you think I'm going to talk about something, but I'm not. I just want to give you truth. So at that time, they had to bring a portion, 2 tenths, a tenth because there was some things that was going on, right? They had to bring to the priest. If they did not grow wheat, which was called barley, right, then they brought what they have in first, and that was a calf. And if they brought a calf, the first calfling of the year, then it would be slain and slaughtered, and the meat would be cooked. It would not be wasted or even raw. They had to maintain the fact that they were going to cook this, and that would be something that would be significant in ensuring one thing is that before you took part of the harvest, because this is the land that God brought you in. This was the promise. This was what God did. He was bringing you, so he was setting up something. So when I get you to where I want you to be, don't forget that I did this. All right? So now, the issue in today's time is very difficult because one would want you to believe that the first fruit is money, and it's not. Before Jesus goes to the cross, the first fruits was anything that you put your hands on that you could trade within the tribes. Y'all with me? If you traded this within the tribes, then this was anything. It was not just money, because you could eat money. You could eat money, right? And you couldn't turn wheat into flour, and you couldn't make bread with it. There was, you know, and what they did was the things that they had from the first of it, they brought to the priest. And the priest now would take this as an offering and wave it before God. And let's go back a little bit now. Because if you remember, Cain and Abel had to make an offering unto the Lord, right? There was no priest there, but they made this offering unto the Lord. And so either God received it or he didn't. You know, he received Abel's offering, but he rejected Cain's, right? That's a whole nother story. So now there's a priest that stands between man and God. I want y'all, you got to grab this, and because it's misused and it's not understood. There's a priest now that stands between man and God. And now it is the priest's responsibility in the Feast of the First Fruits is to take this offering that they have brought to the temple of the things that they have made, they have grown, and they have not partaken of it. They have not eaten the first calf. They have not taken part of any crops that were grown. They hadn't done any of that. So this was their responsibility to bring it to the priest. Why am I signifying the priest? You'll find out here shortly. To bring it to the priest, right, and that it would be offered in the temple. So I want you to pay close attention to that is being offered in the temple. You know, temple wasn't built when Leviticus was given because they had a tabernacle and they was moving from place to place. But he was saying this, when you get into the land, I want y'all to grab that now. When you get to the place that you know God promised you, man, I hope this free you up. I really do. And he writes this in Leviticus and he tells them, you know, as this is being transcribed, that you're going to do this every year. So which means if you're going to do this every year, this means that you are going to the place that God had ordained that you be in. That's the first thing. I want you to grab that in your head now. I want you to think about that now. If this be the instructions and you are to give of your first fruits, and I'm going to blow your mind with that now. then you are to get ready for one thing only, and that means God is taking you to a place He had promised you. I want that to soak in for a minute, right? As difficult as it is to be delivered now, it is much more powerful to know that you have a destiny. As difficult as it is to be snatched away from the things that have held you bound for years, it is much more powerful to know that when you're being snatched away, that you're something you've been connected to for so long, that you have a destiny once you're free. That's the first thing. I want you to write that down, you know. The second thing I want you, because God gave His instructions, they hadn't gotten to the promised land yet. The second thing is that God is going to equip you when you get to that place to plant seed. That means you've got to have some land. Boy, I hope y'all hear me here. You cannot plant a seed that is going to produce a harvest unless you have land. So God has to give you seed to sow. He has to give you land to sow it in. And watch this now. Now He has to bring a harvest. God uses you when you listen to Him. He takes you to a place. I'm going to have to keep that in my spirit. He takes you to a place that you did not see it coming because you've never seen it before. You've never participated in that before. This is something you've never done, and you probably hadn't been educated to do it, but He now places you in a position, and as you get there, He gives you seed and a land to sow it in. And all He wants you to do is bring Him a harvest. Now watch it now. Because some pastors, would want you to think that your money is your harvest. They would even tell you money is a seed. Right? If you plant money, you get money back. So you can't plant an apple seed and get oranges, you're going to get apples. But watch it now. What seed was God talking about planting? Because if He give them seed, He give them ground. And then He brings the water, the sun, and He brings the rain and the sun. He has the ground that receives the seed, and it germinates, and it springs up something. And all you have to do is take up the harvest. Think about that now. Not talking about you doing something. Talking about God doing something. Now watch it now. I want to go over this again. When God delivers you, you have a destiny. And he's sending you to a place. And when you get to that place, boy, I feel the presence of the Lord. He is going to give you seed and ground to sow it in. I'm going to say that again. As you are being delivered, God sends you to a predestined place. And when you get there, He gives you seed and ground to sow it in. Not money. Now, I'm getting ready to flip your wig here in a minute now. Not money. People will make you think money grows money. No. You have to accumulate money together. I want you to pay close attention to this as I say this. Because after the crucifixion, the temple was no longer needed. So where do you bring your harvest?
had an itch in my head. Then I had to scratch my head. You know, after Jesus rose from the dead, the temple was rent. Where do you bring the harvest? Where now is the priest? Y'all thinking about that? I want you to dive into that now. I really need you to really soak that in. You know, because God delivers you. He delivers his people. They have to go to be delivered because he's opened the door for them. And as they're being delivered, he says, when you get to where I'm going, when you get to the place I'm taking you to, I want to talk to you about first fruits. Wasn't, didn't have anything to do with money, because the first fruit is you. Uh-oh. Now that's difficult now. That's difficult because let's go back now, because a seed is something that you have in your hand. It's something you put in the ground, right? And pastors like to call themselves good ground. You know that you're sowing seed into them. They're good ground. So you're sowing seed into them. And if you're sowing seed into good ground, that means it should bring back a harvest. Then now, because the ground that you planted the seed in is the ground that the harvest is coming from. Y'all better stop me before I get too deep into this. And so if you're planting seed in the ground and that ground doesn't produce your harvest, that wasn't good ground. If you plant seed in ground and it does not produce a harvest that you can bring to the Lord, wasn't good ground. So how is it then that if I take money and I give it to a pastor, if I sow seed, as they say, if I'm sowing money, you know, if I'm planting money, if I'm giving money an individual that is considered a priest, when now the temple is rent, there's no longer need for the priest in that nature, where is my seed? And we like to say, you know, seed time and harvest is a law, and that's true. But you have to plant in good ground. And without planting in good ground, you have no harvest. So interesting is the temple is no longer needed. Where's the temple? My friend, that temple is you. Then if I'm the one, you know, how can I be the temple and the harvest and the seed? Wow. How can you be the seed, the harvest, and the temple? Watch it now, because you are of a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You now have become a priest after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now we have to bring perspective now into this, because if seed is not money, and I'm going to tell you something now, because a lot of folk give, and they give because they've been instructed to give, and they're not reaping a harvest. The only one that reaps harvest and that we've seen that people have a problem with are the pastors. Some of you might have a problem with what I'm saying. That's okay. I didn't say it wasn't a blessing to give now. I'm talking about first fruits. And so if this is the first fruits, and I want to be honest with people, I don't want to, you know, pull wool over folks' eyes and leading out the pathway and having them thinking one thing. It's not. So let's pay close attention to this. If you are seed, if you are the harvest, and you are the temple, who gets all of this? What is the benefit to you to be the seed? What is the benefit to you to be the harvest? How can you be the priest? Because when God takes you to a place, he's planting you there. Watch it now. When God takes you to a place, he's planting you there. And wherever he takes you is going to be good ground, because what he did with you when you die to yourself is going to come out looking differently as it has blossomed into a tree that has fruit on it to be harvested. I want y'all to grab this now. I'm not always there. There are 7 more lessons I got to deal with in this, and this is just an introduction, and I believe this is going to bless you because it's you can't partake of yourself if you have not gotten to the place that God has planted you that cannot be a harvest. Because it is through deliverance that he takes you to that place. And when he takes you there, he's letting you know that you are the first fruit of my harvest. So when I plant you, I'm looking for some fruit to come out of you. Man, I hope y'all getting this. Some would begin to bring up the fruit of the Spirit. I'm looking for some fruit. Now, interesting enough, you know, I want to read this scripture to you. It's in the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 8. If you would turn there, Romans 8. I'll give you a moment. 8:22. Romans 8:22, and we're actually going to read the 22nd and the 23rd verse, right? So, and I know this is being recorded, so you'll have an opportunity to go back and get it. And so listen to this now. For we know, this is Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So now that indicates that, you know, it's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And that's unique. You know, it's not ideally dealing with the exact fruit of the Spirit in that particular verse, but it's identifying one thing, that spiritually you have the fruit of the Spirit. And you are the first fruits of that. You are the first fruits of that. So the other scripture that I want to lay on you, if you have the fruit of the Spirit, if you have the first fruit of the Spirit, James says it best in James chapter number 1, verse number 18, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creations, of his creatures, and some other translations. And so that we should be a kind of first fruit. Now, some other scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and if you go through that, it's going to identify the fruit, the first fruit of the Spirit. And we'll talk about that next week. But I'm laying this foundation because there is something different about this. How can you be blessed if you're not in the place that God wants you to be in and you're not planted? Now, I want to deal with that for a minute now. I want to deal with that. And so this is how I really want you to grab a hold of this, because I want you to hear something. When dealing with the idea of you being the fruit or the first fruits of God, and that you are feasting, you know, I want you to know that when you pull your harvest, you're in that place that God has sent you. When you begin the harvest now, you don't partake of it first. And that sounds crazy, right? Because now, if you read my posting, I said glorify God, because I want to deal with this now. If you put your confidence in God, you can't do that just by listening to somebody tell you that, right? It is difficult for you to just, okay, the pastor said, put confidence in God, and I'm going to give this money. That's not what I'm saying. You know, now I want you to go back, because, again, I said there were instructions that were given, right? If there is no instructions, how can you follow? No one should have to convince you. You should study and find out for yourself, or someone should be teaching you, that you are God's harvest. Because the barley and the wheat, in all of Jesus's parables where he talked about wheat, he was talking about you. He warns the pastors that, you know, when you say a rich man, they had a barn full of wheat, and he wanted to build another barn so he could store some more, not knowing that then Jesus said, you know, your life now is your life is being required of you, because you won't get rid of this to come follow me. So what he was saying was that the leaders. Had more in value in the wheat for themselves, not knowing that wheat didn't belong to them. And instead of them removing themselves, they wanted a bigger house. I need a bigger church for all these people. And the big wheat house, as my cousin calls it, wasn't the thing that God was trying to do. He wanted the pastors to get rid of that mentality and follow him. Now, when you go to Israel, you're going to hear a lot of Israel people in Israel that says this, and trust me, throughout the next 7 weeks as we're dealing with something, you will hear them say, we've westernized the gospel because we made wheat, first fruits, and everything we preach about money, which would indicate that capitalism has entered into God's conversation. It baffles me that we have not studied the word enough to know that the children of Israel were socialists. They operated under a socialistic perspective, because God made them responsible one for another. I'm just talking about the children of Israel now. You know, and he did that with these 12 tribes, and I wanted to lay that foundation. He did not make them differently or separate. He did not deal with them separately from another tribe. He dealt with them as one because he chose them. He had instructions for them all. He used one man to give those instructions off, and they filtered that information out. But it was to the children of Israel. They moved as a team. And granted, some died during the deliverance portion of it because they could not disconnect from the Egyptian way. If you remember, when they go, Moses has them out in the wilderness, and Moses goes up to talk to God, and they know Aaron is down there, and they say, Aaron, where's Moses? You left us here to ourselves. You know what we're going to do? Give us all your gold. You're going to build us a golden chest. That's our God. Yeah? Chosen people of God decided to make something that was golden. Don't remember, God said silver and gold is mine. You know, you don't worship what's mine. You worship God. And the only way that you can glorify God is to first have confidence in what he said. Ah, here we go again. You know, glorifying God is not praising God. It's not the same thing. When we glorify God, we have confidence that the instructions that he had given us, we trust him. We got confidence in it. If God hadn't spoken to you, what do you have confidence in? Where is your level of confidence if God has not spoken to you? Are you believing God based upon what he told someone else? That was a conversation God had with them. You will consistently hear me say, what has God said to you? He's constantly speaking. So mind you now, and I'm coming to a close. We got plenty more to talk about in the next coming weeks. Because, you know, once you've been delivered, you have to prepare to go to your destiny. And once you get to your destiny, you are the seed. And if you plant yourself, if you allow God to plant you where he has sent you, that will be a harvest. And you would want to give that harvest to him first. And we ain't talking about money. See, people will give money and then disassociate themselves with the things that God wants them to do. I gave my money. Why is he not happy? You know, Lord, I gave the money. That ain't what God asked for. He's asking and looking that you submit yourself. If you are the seed, then when God plants you, you have to die to the shell that you're in. It has to be broken open that what is truly in you would take root and spring up and bring forth fruit. Now, why did I say this will bless you? Because some of us have been made to feel, or some people have made to feel, if you didn't have any money, you weren't any good, right? If you ain't got no money to give, then we can't help you. And so that's why I made the comment earlier that if the pastor is the priest now, then he has to be good ground. And I'm not saying the pastors are not. I don't know who your pastor is or what he does or anything of that nature. And what I'm saying is that if you are planting seed and you are the seed that has been planted and there's no harvest, then let me back up for a minute. If you're going to the church and you're trying to get rich because I'm going to give my money, then you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it, and you'll be scratching your head trying to figure out what did I do wrong. I gave my money. You know, I gave the money. If this was about money, God would have said it was about money. But he said that the love of money is the root of all evil. And when you're in a place where money is the only discussion, then the church now looks like the world. It's an economic engine. It talks about the economy of it. It now speaks towards capitalism. Because now you're not a soul in the eyes of the people that are in charge of that church, that building. You're a commodity. The more people, the more money. Better job, the more money. And they're not interested if you're planted. They just want to know if you're going to give. But if you're planted, and that's what God has sent you, and God is the one that is nurturing you and watering you, what other fruit could you bring up that wouldn't be a harvest? Watch it now, that God would not receive. We forget it is God that is actually looking for the harvest. And if there's no first fruit of the harvest, if he didn't receive it, what are you doing? And how are you getting it done? Didn't say it wasn't going to bless you, or what we call blessings. We look at money and we reference blessings. They rain upon the just as well as the unjust. You know, but the truth of the matter is that fruit is all, you are the first fruit of God. Well, dear heart, I want you to be prepared, because we're going from the first fruits, and we're going to talk about each one of these pieces, because we get into the weeks of the harvest, and if I say this, then you'll gravitate to it, you'll understand it. It is, when we get to the feast of, or the day of Pentecost, we went through the feast of weeks, and do these feasts of weeks is planting and the sowing, how you plant yourself, how you position yourself the way God wants you, and how you follow the hand of God, that when he comes, you're part of that harvest. So just want you to begin to study and dig in. I would ask that you continue to look at the seven feasts of God and study those. They're important. If they wasn't important, God would never have told us, don't forget them. And so it is a blessing to talk to you all. And I want to end this with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, oh God. Father, we appreciate you, Lord. You kept us safe. And God, when others were sick, God, you kept us safe. And Lord, we don't want to be cocky. We want to be humble, because there are some sick people, oh Lord. There are some folks that are hurting. There are some people, oh God, that are troubled, whether they want to go to work or whether they want to stay home. Lord, you told me it ain't morning time yet. That's what you told me, Father. It's not morning. Stay in. It ain't morning. And Lord, I have to trust you in that, and God. And Lord, I would pray, God, that you would send, if that is the message, that you send all of us that identical message, because we are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. God, you are our God. Lord, find a way, oh God, that you think, or you would know that our ears would be open, that we would hear from you, Father. Lord, that we would speak to you. And God, as we obey you, it doesn't matter what Pharaoh says, oh God, we're about to be delivered. I bless you, Lord Jesus, oh God. You are a true God. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear heart, it's been a blessing, you know, to talk with you. And, you know, we're not going into the day of Pentecost or the Feast of Weeks immediately, because there are 7 weeks now. We have the opportunity to dig in and find out something, because at the end of that 50th day, when that 50th day comes, we're going to see something happening in the earth realm that's been busting open spiritually. And we need to be ready. Amen. God bless all of you all. Look forward to, if it be the will of God, of talking to you next week. Amen.